Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. So, Faisal, we've done lots of shows on interesting research around aging, and it's valuable in a, you know, to us in helping us understand what people go through and experience. We got a new little wrinkle in the ointment here called COVID-19.
That's right.
What effect that this may have? I mean, we know what some of the immediate effects have been for sure. What is it going to do to affect sort of longer term? I'm interested to see what the early research is telling us about that, how it's affecting some of those very long studies that have been put in place. And so we've got a terrific guest to help us understand that today, Dr. Jacqueline McMillan, who's a clinical assistant professor of the Cummings School of Medicine at U of C, and she works in the section of geriatrics. Jacqueline, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this study on aging. What are we measuring?
So what we're doing is the Canadian Longitudinal Study on Aging has been around for a number of years, and it's the largest population-based study across Canada with about 50,000 participants. And so what we've done in the light of COVID is retooled what we were already doing. We obviously weren't focusing on COVID before, but since the pandemic has arisen, we've retooled the infrastructure of the study to look at the impact that COVID is having on our older adults who are part of this study. So we have introduced a survey that's done at baseline and then every week for a few weeks and then every month to look at what the impact has been of the pandemic on individuals and their lives and their households, because we know that this is not occurring in isolation and that it's impacting people much more broadly than just the medical and the health impact.
So we know, we know the most dramatic outcome of how it's affecting seniors for sure. Is there any early indications? Like, I'm curious what you're measuring. What are you trying to determine with the impact of COVID?
What we're looking at with this study is we're looking at many of the socio-demographic and mental health and economic impacts that the pandemic is having on people. So our study certainly asks medical questions. So we ask about symptoms, but then a large part of the study is saying, how has physical distancing impacted you? Has it meant that you aren't able to go grocery shopping or that you're not able to help care for instance, if you have an older parent in the family who you normally help look after, has that limited your ability to help them? Has it impacted your income or your investments? And looking at all the other things that we know are a part of everyone's life, and hopefully it will help us address some of those questions that are more outside of the realm of the immediate medical consequences.
So the questions that you selected, Jacqueline, are they, why did you select it in that method? Like, why is the concern when it comes to aging a question about their investments or a question about, you know, are they going to the grocery store? Like, what was the rationale behind asking those kind of questions?
I think that what we know and what we've seen over the years is that people's experience with health is not just a reflection of the disease. So it's not just the diabetes that makes life challenging for people. It's the other factors in your life that make you able to tolerate your diseases or live or age with them well. So we know that loneliness has a huge impact on mortality and morbidity. And we know that access to family and friends has a huge impact on people. And so we wanted to make sure that we're not missing those consequences of the pandemic and that we consider some of those factors as we move forward. If we're thinking there may be a second wave, we want to know what are the outside impacts that are influencing people's day-to-day lives.
So given maybe some of the research around existing like problems like diabetes or whatever the disease state might be that have been around for a long time, do you anticipate or does the early data indicate that there are differences with COVID versus others, or can we draw? Do you think we can draw some conclusions about what we're going to expect to see here, given other diseases?
I think we are going to see differences with COVID, and I think part of it is that for many of us, it has taken over much of our day-to-day lives, whether we're following the news cycle or we're watching our family and friends affected. And fear is a powerful motivator. And so we have a lot of fear about getting the illness ourselves or our family members. And so I think it is going to have a much different impact than other diseases do, because people might, they might not see their family physician, or they might not be able to fill their prescriptions or attend the emergency department. And I think that it's going to be an unprecedented impact, unlike other diseases.
Jacqueline, do you have any preliminary information of what the study has told us so far?
We do. We've been very fortunate that our CLSA participants are very engaged with the study. And so we've had over 25,000 responses to the survey already across Canada. So we've had a great response rate. We are seeing that certain regions are more or less engaged in responding. So early results are saying that people in Montreal really want to tell us stuff. And so it does beg the question, is that because they've been differently impacted than those of us in Alberta? We're seeing some early data about the impacts of social distancing, so people not being able to maybe get some of the needs that they have day to day, whether it be groceries or things. So we're certainly seeing some really interesting early results.
So, okay, that makes sense to me that, you know, this is a different disease state in the sense that we've got to stay apart.
And I would have thought it would have just accelerated what already happens.
What do you mean?
So someone going through a disease, let's use diabetes as our example, there's been issues when it comes to financial and loneliness, fear, everything that they're already feeling. You're just accelerating it because now you're in the COVID crisis. That's what I would have thought would have come out of it, as opposed of now we're seeing differences from what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Well, yeah, it's not surprising to me that the differences would be related to being isolated, in the sense that if you got diabetes, you're not worried about giving it to somebody else, right? COVID means we've got to stay apart. It's affected me, I can tell you. So I can only imagine. And I think about my mom, and we've talked about your dad, but my mom's in a care facility where she's effectively on lockdown, right? In that facility, your dad's on his own, but he's still feeling isolated because people are afraid to go see him for fear that you might infect him and do real damage there. So that makes sense to me, right? That would happen. But my question, Jacqueline, just before we finish up, is there any surprises that has come out of the data so far?
One of my favorite surprises is people's resilience. And one of the last questions asks about, has it there been anything positive? And some of our respondents have said things like the newfound time to do hobbies, so things like gardening or reading more. And I think it just speaks to how resilient we are and how wonderful it is to see people able to refocus and see something, some sort of light, and know that this will pass and that there will be lots of learning that comes from it.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there, but I appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll check back with you on the research. Jacqueline, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Take good care.
You too. We've been joined by Dr. Jacqueline McMillan. She's a clinical assistant professor at the Cummings School of Medicine here at the U of C in the section of geriatrics. Now, she said something very interesting, Jacqueline did at the very end, Faisal, which we have to talk about at our seminar, but she talked about lifestyle. So this gift of time that we've talked about, but ultimately it's a lifestyle, right? So one of the common themes, and when I talk to people about the impact of COVID, there's good, bad, and ugly for sure, but it's this idea of lifestyle, how I'm spending my time, the things I'm doing. And some of that stuff people are talking about, I want to stay this way, right? So I've adjusted my lifestyle. It could be a new hobby or whatever it is. I want to keep that, or the pace has changed. I want to keep that.
Correct.
Right? But lifestyle, whatever that answer is the critical component of what we talk about at seminars.
Yeah, when you're looking at changing, or you want to have a certain type of lifestyle, can you financially afford that lifestyle for the rest of your life?
Right.
And that's the strategy we're going to talk about on Tuesday, May 19th, 7 p.m., live online. This is a webinar that you need to register for. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
One of the problems that Jacqueline spoke about, and we've spoke about before in the current environment, is people are isolated. They can be alone. There's problems with that. If you want to learn how to help and you have a loved one in that situation, stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.